Hi there, and welcome to the Engage Employee podcast, where you'll discover the latest insights, opinions, and trends within the industry. This podcast is proudly sponsored by Salesforce, the world's number one service platform. With Salesforce, you have a 360-degree view of your customers, empowering agents and making interactions easy for your customers. The result? Deeper customer relationships built on intelligence, empathy, and trust. Visit sfdc.co/customer-service to find out more.
Today, our editor, Lizzie Acas, is delighted to be joined by James Hampson, Head of Development and Engagement, and Georgie Mills, Head of HR Retail at Seasalt Cornwall. James's varied and extensive experience in the military, further education, and most recently private sector retail at Seasalt have enabled him to take a unique view on people development and employee engagement. Georgie is deeply passionate about great people-based HR practices that add value and, most importantly, make a positive impact.
Hi, James and Georgie. It's lovely to speak with you both today. James, you are the Head of Development and Engagement, and Georgie, you are the Head of HR, both from Seasalt Cornwall. It was great to hear you both speak about why leaders really are the key to employee engagement success at our employee engagement event in May. Today, we're going to be delving a little deeper and expanding on some of the key points that you made in your case study talk. And if you're ready, let's get started.
Brilliant.
Great.
So to kick us off, please can you give an introduction to Seasalt Cornwall in case anyone listening is unfamiliar with the brand?
So we are just over a thousand people in the business. We're a fashion retailer, primarily selling ladies clothing, originating from Cornwall, so based in Falmouth, which is where our head office is, and have grown quite rapidly over the last five years really is where the main growth has happened, but been Seasalt for the last 15 or 16 years. And we have 62 stores around the UK.
Lovely, thanks. And in your talk, you put an emphasis on the fact that you employ the whole person. Can you please talk us through this?
I think from my perspective, this is kind of still work in progress, I think, really. But our focus has really been about making sure that when someone joins the business, that we cater for everyone's needs. So we spent quite a lot of time in the people team trying to work out ways to ensure that everyone has equal opportunities to progress around the business. But also we look at the things that they're interested in. For us, it has a huge impact on their performance and whether they're connected to the purpose of the business. So it's been really important for us to sort of look at all of the things that impact everyone's life when they come to work, so that we can work out ways to be flexible enough, but also adapt to the way the business is going, so that we take on that whole person approach, really.
Yeah, and I think in addition to that, it's making sure that there are meaningful connections between managers and their staff. So we truly do employ the whole person, particularly in stores. They become very close-knit teams and kind of mutually support at all levels. So we're not an employer that encourages just bring your work self. It's the whole person that we want that will engage with the team and with our customers equally.
Lovely, thank you. And just following on from this, really, you also mentioned the want to retain the community and family side of the business and that you believe in meaningful careers. Can you explain what this means and why this is so important to Seasalt Cornwall?
Yeah, I think what we recognise is that family feel and the community of Seasalt is one of the very things that has helped Seasalt grow to where it is now. And so there was a real recognition that as we continue to grow, to retain that, to ensure that was still part of what we do and part of our emphasis, but also the purpose of the business to make sure that people are connected to what we do. We do our best to communicate effectively. We socialise, we celebrate some of the things that we do well together. And that was really important part of the growth strategy for Seasalt. And that then really connects to those meaningful careers, because if we were able to help people understand what the purpose of the business is, understand where it's going, but also get their voice on how that's going as well, so being able to connect them to that, it helps decisions, maybe at a strategic level, to be connected to where every individual employee hopes it will go. and it's supported, but also means it gives lots of opportunities. So they've had a chance to be a bit more self-directed in their opportunities. We've just started to ask more questions in our sort of performance development conversations, that we've moved away from the annual or 6-monthly appraisal to more of a career development conversation, which allows people to have real clear self-direction on where their career goes. So a manager has, and a leader has, an opportunity to help them understand what kind of opportunities might be available around the business and then connect them to it. So it's really about sort of trying working together and using our employees' their voice and their opinions to help us channel where we go as a business.
Yeah, and I think particularly on meaningful careers, we try and kind of get the point across that everybody's work for CSOL is working for us as a retail business, whether that's you're working in the store, in the distribution centre, or in the creative teams at our head offices. So meaningful careers to us is not just the natural hierarchical trajectory that you would get in other retail businesses. It's about being able to have an enlightened career that might move across the same level in different disciplines throughout the business. So something that we particularly want to focus on is how people can transition through the business and move through disciplines in a really great way. It's something that we definitely want to focus on and crack and make sure that we have kind of that knowledge moving through the business from people working in a store to then working in different teams in our head offices. So it has to be a meaningful career, not just I want to be in this role in 2 years' time, but actually how are you going to get there and how are you going to develop.
Brilliant, thank you. And in your talk, you also mentioned that at CSOL Cornwall, you realised that you are all leaders and that you all have the ability to influence the business and where it's going. Can you please talk us through this?
Yeah, I suppose the word realised is an interesting one. I suppose it comes from, personally, from me, my background in the military, where as a service man or woman, you're developed as a leader from the start. And there's no, while there are rank structures and there's discipline in that kind of world, everyone has the opportunity to progress into a leadership role and are encouraged to from day one. And so what I personally wanted to do at CSOL when I joined a couple of years ago was to sort of to try to emulate that in some way, obviously without the marching and all the other bits that go in the military, but more sort of that concept that we, as human beings, we are influencing people all the time, both consciously and unconsciously. And what I wanted people in the business to realise is that that is happening for them too, and that they can have a real positive impact on another person if they start to think about it in that way. So what we started to do is mainly focus on our leaders, our managers, to help them realise that they could influence where things were going, and they had a voice, but also trying to widen that conversation across the business so that conversations were open and transparent and clear. There was no weird stuff happening where, you know, one group were talking about one thing and another group didn't know about these things. It was really about how people influence each other, coming in with growth mindsets so that they're working towards positivity. It also stemmed from a Dan Pink book called Where To Sally is Human, I think it's called. And then he talks about, you know, we're all sort of born salespeople. And it kind of made me start to think around, you know, actually we're kind of all born leaders as well. So, you know, there's a real opportunity to get people to talk about it further. So, yeah, it kind of comes from that and encouraging people to feel that they can influence it. But also from the other side of the, I suppose, our strategic leaders being able to receive that and hear that feedback. So equally being able to tool them up to receive feedback from anyone across the business and not be blocked or feel that there's any barriers to hierarchy, and that, you know, we're all human at the end of the day and we all have an opinion. So that's really where it's come from.
Lovely, thank you. And can you explain the shift that CSOL Cornwall undertook in changing its approach from traditional to modern and what this meant?
Yeah, this mainly is from a learning development point of view, but I suppose it's certainly spread across the business for a lot of things. As a traditional growing business, the practices that worked when we were small naturally have to evolve. From a learning point of view, in the R&D world, there's a real emphasis on moving the learning development offer from an order taker that basically just delivers training because someone's requested it, to more of a partnering approach in the learning development. So aligning everything that we do in learning development to the business, using the strategic aims of the business, and then measuring really quite clearly about what we do and when we do it and how much impact it has on the back on the business, whether it's saving the business money or making it, whether it's improving customer satisfaction or encouraging or increasing employee engagement. It's really looking at sort of rather than just saying, right, we're going to do some time management training and that we hope that's going to improve people's time management. It's really looking at the bigger picture of, you know, how do people learn? When do they learn the most? What has the most impact? And trying to modernize that approach. Marketing, I think, in the past have been able to modernize their approach to marketing using campaigns and what have you and using data that they're getting. So it's really trying to model that approach using the data that we've got in learning development, understanding how people are working within CSALT and trying to make the best use of that, really. And then partnering with the HR business partners in the business and other members of the team around the business in the retail areas, but all parts of the business to ensure that the work we do actually contributes to the performance of the business and take more of a performance approach to learning rather than just training people for training's sake. So, yeah, it comes from that, but I suppose the parts of the business modernise anyway, really.
Yeah, I think so. And actually, I think we're still on the journey of moving from traditional to modern. It's certainly something that we want to focus on, but traditionally in retail, so in stores, it's been a very kind of classroom approach in ours and other businesses, and we're trying to make sure that we are giving everybody the tools and the access to what they need to do whenever that is, rather than we're going to train you on time management next Friday and we're not going to give you anything up until that point. So it definitely needs to be more flexible so that we're meeting the needs of the kind of 600-700 people out in stores that are working, you know, after we're open 7 days a week. So they're working flexibly throughout that week and need to be able to have access to learning whenever they need it rather than when it's scheduled.
Brilliant, thank you. And can you please talk us through the Emerging Leader Programme?
Yeah, Emerging Leader Programme came in this year, and it kind of builds on that concept that we're all leaders. We started off doing a lot of targeted development work around our leadership here at CSALT, mainly to those that had leader in their title or manager in their title. But, you know, there are people in the business that, and in fact, there are people in many businesses that get promoted into management leadership roles and never really receive any leadership development. And we tend to promote people in business because of their skills and competencies, and they tend to be the best people at what they do. But for some reason, we're not particularly good at front-ending that with any leadership or management development. So we really, really wanted to make sure that to sort of future-proof our progression and succession around the business, that we began to develop those people that wanted to be leaders, that were encouraged and enthused about being leaders as well in their areas, so that we can teach them and support them and guide them and coach them through what we feel leadership looks like at CSALT and what we feel leadership looks like as a whole, so that they can start to, I suppose, round out some of those decisions they made around wanting to become a leader, decide on whether that really is for them. And if it is, then start to help them much earlier than them receiving a title for it. So it was really about developing that person, that whole person, creating those meaningful careers, realizing that everyone is a leader, and giving those ones that stood up and said, sure, actually, I really would like to take this on in the future, and giving them the opportunity to do so. And for us, I think, well, certainly from my point of view, what that means is that those individuals might choose to go out of their trade as well. But what we do get at CSALT then are people that are really ambitious and want to be people developers in their leadership roles. And they don't silo themselves in their own trade. They become a bit more generalist. And so therefore, the business will benefit quite positively from that. And so we're about 3 months into that program. This year, it's going really well. We have 10 people on the program. We meet on a Wednesday evening every month, and it's a twilight session. So there's some additional commitment that's required from those individuals on top of their normal workload as well. But they are a community, so they are, they've got a project attached to it that they've decided that they will work on based on the business strategy. And they will be presenting that back to the executive board at the end of their program and making connections to the work that they've learned. So, it's one of those things that we're kind of piloting, but it's having quite a positive impact so far.
Brilliant, thank you. And could you please explain why you conducted a feedback survey across the business and how you went about doing this?
Yeah, that kind of came off the back of the acknowledgement of retaining the community and family. That I know that in some businesses, the driver behind surveying the business is because of high turnover or there's an issue going on. For us, that wasn't really the case. We wanted to make sure that we were learning enough about what people were thinking about where the business was going before we encountered a problem, should there be one. And so we were ready and we considered and talked to enough people to understand, what was happening, and so that we could start to help develop those things before they even became an issue. And recognizing that we were growing quickly, I think I mentioned that we'd had 3 years before where we hadn't asked any questions, and in those 3 years we'd seen quite rapid growth. So it was a good opportunity for us to start asking more questions. There's also the acknowledgement that by providing our teams and our people around the business with a bit more of a voice, it gives them the opportunity to share exactly what's going on for them. It's not easy when you're at head office to be able to get out and understand what's going on for every individual. So it's a good opportunity for us to learn a little bit more. We also made sure that we trained up our leaders on it. So we didn't just do a survey in silo and go, right, fingers crossed, let's see what happens. What we wanted to do was engage with our leadership teams to find out what they thought employee engagement was for them. So that it wouldn't just be a tick box approach. It would be, right, okay, so we have done a survey now. What is it telling us, and how are those leaders and managers going to start to implement some action? And so it was quite important that we moved things forward from it. It wasn't just a feedback survey. We would actually be able to demonstrate that we would do some things off the back of it and actually do them too.
I think in addition to that as well, it's just the need for a feedback survey was, we've got over 60 locations of teams working across the country, and anecdotally out, visiting stores and spending time with teams, it was really apparent that they wanted to have that voice and they had things that they wanted to share, good and objective view generally around where the business is going. Some of it is, they want an opportunity to be able to praise their manager, and some of it that they want to be able to just share their view on all the different factors that we asked them. So, we knew at head office that it was something that we wanted to do, but we also knew that, many of our team members wanted to have their voice heard and wanted a vessel to do that.
Yeah, I think the vessel was quite an interesting one as well, because we sort of deliberated over paper-based or digital and how do we make that work for people, and we did end up in a digital approach. So, there's all this sort of, it was quite radical for us here at CSOC to go down that route, because in the past it's always been paper-based, been quite light touch, and it would probably been a bit more satisfaction survey rather than employee engagement survey. And so we spent, a good few months trying to work out who are the best people that could represent us from a value side of things. We tried to really make sure that the whatever digital approach we took really complemented what we were trying to get out of it as well. And I think we achieved that quite neatly. We actually have a survey going on right now. So it's, and we've got live data coming in daily, it's a really useful thing to be able to connect it to our managers once the survey's over too.
Brilliant, thank you. And you've mentioned that you have a very high participation and engagement percentages for these surveys. I know you had one in June 2018, January 2019, and now you're saying you're having another one now. Could you talk more about why you think these have been so successful?
More particularly across our stores, we've taken some really practical steps, just keeping it really simple to enable people to share their views. So not all of our team members in stores have a need to have IT access, so we've enabled them to be able to do that whilst they're, you know, using a store computer through a kiosk code or a payroll number. So we've tried to make it as easy as possible for them and given them time in their working day to take time out, sit and complete the survey, which normally takes about 15, 20 minutes. So we've kind of almost rotated and reminded and supported people to do that. Equally, it hasn't been forced. So, you know, if somebody doesn't want to share their view, that's absolutely fine. If they do, we try to remove as many barriers as possible to enable them to have quiet space and time in order to do that. We've also done a kind of run-up campaign of reminding, particularly through our area management team and the senior kind of retail team, that this is coming, please be aware of it, please, you know, remind your team. So if somebody is on holiday, for example, we can allow for that so that they don't completely miss out and come back and you know, think, oh, the survey happened without me. So we did some practical stuff to support high participation, but I think we were all quite happily surprised that it was as high as it, you know, has been and continued to be so through the pulse survey. Whether that's due to the practical steps or not, or whether it's just due to, as I said earlier, people genuinely wanting to share their view, I don't think we'll ever really know. But yeah, we kind of try to make sure that for those that aren't, you know, sat at their computer on a daily basis across the distribution centre and through our stores, that we really supported them so they didn't, you know, feel that they were lost in the process.
You know, I think we seem to have I'm surprised by it, but we have a culture here at Seastock where people are really happy to share feedback and talk, and so I suppose by opening up this mechanism that people have a way to make sure that their voice is heard, is not surprising that we're getting you know, high participation rates. You know, one of our co-founders, in fact both co-founders, will regularly go out to stores and meet with the teams in the stores and around other parts of the business, and we'll engage in conversation and ask for feedback, and people are willing to give it, and I think the thing around surveying or asking questions is what's most important is that if someone is passionate about seeing some change around the business, if they don't see that change, then they won't share it again, so we won't get participation as high as it is. So while the participation is high, and that's great, and our engagement scores are good in comparison to our benchmarks, you know, it will only stay there if we continue to do the things that we're being asked of, or we continue to give some rationale as to why the business might not go down a direction that has been suggested, and it's sort of trying to make sure that we keep doing that, which becomes almost a bigger priority. You know, if we don't get high participation rates, but our engagement score goes up, then I think that's okay. I think that's good, because maybe people don't feel that they don't have to share as much anymore to see any change. So I think the whole psychology and the behavioural psychology of this is really intriguing, to work out what will work and what doesn't work, and what draws people to give their feedback. And for us, it's having that open feel. We also back this up with the employee forums, which we're building on. So that's an opportunity for departmental representatives to meet with the CE, Paul Hayes, and our HR director, John Govier, to sort of talk about rediscussing, I suppose, those conversations that they have maybe started in a survey. And so they get a real opportunity to talk directly to the CEO and the HR director and hopefully see even further change because of it.
Brilliant, thank you. And can you please explain some examples of some of the changes that have been implemented as a result of feedback?
Well, yeah, I suppose one of the main things that regularly comes out of the survey, and I think it comes back to the provider that we use and some of their drivers on their research, but career development is a huge thing. And it's not too surprising, because there's also quite a significant amount of research out there that you know, people are joining businesses because they want the career development, and it's not just about the pay. So we changed our appraisal process to recognise that. So we shifted from that six monthly, I suppose, which was really historic looking backwards appraisal, to a future focused objective setting piece of paperwork, really, that enabled people to have coaching conversations, that enabled people to look at their objectives on a monthly basis, recognizing also that those objectives can change and shift probably quite, you know, ridiculously fast, actually, in some areas. So that, you know, checking in 6 months or 12 months just isn't enough. What we found by doing that, actually, a lot of our managers are probably doing it more regularly anyway. But by formalising it, is what it's enabled people to do is really start to focus on, okay, we really are looking at career and career development at CSOL, and it's important to us, and they have a real opportunity to drive it. So we're seeing some really great feedback out of that. You know, there's still work to do to support our managers and leaders to continue to do that even better. But, you know, that's certainly one of the main things. We've increased holiday and things like that as well. But
We took a structured approach in terms of after the survey about making sure that the results went out to teams very quickly. So all managers were given access to the score that they had, whether that's if they're running a store or a department a head office. So team members that had participated were able to see the score, and their view was being quickly shared and quickly acted upon. And then we encouraged every manager to have a meeting and discuss those results in a kind of leave your ego at the door kind of situation. The manager would say, these are the results, this is what we've had, can we have a discussion, and any discussions or anything more or less that you want to say about this, so that there is that kind of anecdotal information added into the team information. And then every manager was responsible for driving an action as a result of that that they agreed with their team. So they engaged their team with the action as a result of what they have shared. So we're trying to make sure they're engaged at every stage throughout the survey. And particularly in our stores, it's been really helpful to give targeted support to some managers if there's a particular area that their team has scored not so highly on, and therefore we need to work with them and give them some development, or just for them to know that if they thought that that's a particularly strong area in their team, actually it's not, and then have that open discussion about how they can move that forward. We've removed things like age-related pay in retail, so regardless of your age, whatever job you were doing, you'd be paid the same, and that came directly as a result of the survey of people saying that just because they were younger didn't feel, you know, fair, and that was aligned to national minimum wages. So yeah, we've used the comments quite a lot in order to be able to inform our people strategy and our business partnering with managers as a result of last year, really.
Yeah, I think we've made use of the insights from our system that sort of give examples to managers of what they could do off the back of their feedback. So rather than it just be about, okay, the business of CSOL driving certain big things, actually helping our managers and our leaders realise that they can have quite a significant impact by just looking at one thing to change in their team and look, working with the team to work on that one thing. We're certainly seeing teams having more sort of time out of the office to discuss what they can do. There's a lot more conversation in particular departments and interdepartmental type conversations where some of those departments that work really closely together, certainly in our product design and our buying and merchandising groups, where they do work really closely together, actually we're seeing similar or I suppose corresponding kind of sort of bits of feedback. So they've now clubbed together and taken on that more community feel that we want to continue to encourage, and have really started to partner up with each other to come up with one or two things that they could work on to improve working practices, processes, how they communicate, just the general look and feel of buildings, the things that they can influence themselves. And that's been quite important for us to be able to pass over some of that responsibility to managers and leaders and their teams. In most cases, actually, the teams driving some of that change themselves, because It will be them that will give us the feedback afterwards if it doesn't happen. So again, driving that self-direction around some of these things so that we empower them to make those changes.
Brilliant, thank you. And just to finish off, can you give us any insight into what we might see next in terms of employee engagement at CSALT Cornwall?
I suppose we're really looking at, for me, I'm looking at ways we can encourage results-only working environments where we look at performance rather than hours worked, you know, look at presenteeism and absenteeism and look at those sort of things. We don't have huge issues with these things, but I think it's always intriguing to start to look at how you can really turn the volume up a little bit on things and how you can really push a little bit harder on certain stuff. Looking at how busy our teams are and how we can use local and future talent to really be able to support some of that. So that our creatives in particular have that headspace to be able to do that creative work. We know that they need influences and time outside of the office. They need to be engaged in the wildlife and our local environment to be able to do some of that. It's a real big driver of some of our prints and some of our product. And so that's huge for us to get those people out of the general churn of the day. And how do we do some of that stuff? So looking at how we can be more flexible as an employer and looking at those sort of things.
Yeah, and I think in addition to that, it's about just making sure that it remains relevant. So this is the second time that we've done our annual survey, and we all know that action is really important, that people see change happening as a result of sharing their view, but it needs to be different change. It's not that they're doing the same action as, you know, particularly in a shop, for example, that they're doing the same thing that they were doing last year, and then teams become quite tired with it, and it loses its, you know, they lose their enthusiasm and it loses its meaning. So for me, it's about making sure that it's just as relevant this year as it was last, and, you know, and for next year, that we're really staying ahead to what we want to achieve, and that it's really entwined in our kind of people plan and our culture, so it's not just seen as an extra thing that they have to do. And yeah, absolutely, you know, what James is saying around being flexible and really understanding the world of work and what it's like to work at CSALT. And, you know, I think one of our big aspirations is just to be a different kind of retailer, not to be the same as everybody else. And so just making sure that we continue to achieve that.
Yeah, I think from an employee engagement tool, using the survey a bit more than just our pulse and annual. So we ask questions at induction. We're going to start asking more questions at exits that sort of, again, align back into why people come to work for CSALT, what keeps them working for CSALT, and really helping sort of keep illuminizing that as well. So if someone does leave CSALT, we really want them to be able to go away, work somewhere else, and want to come back to us. I think that's really important, is that we want to create an environment that people love working at, but recognise that people to advance their career might choose to go other parts of the world or the country to do that work. And we want to be able to support them to do that, be behind them when they do that, and then obviously hopefully that they will come back to us with additional skills and experiences that is going to advance the business. So there's a lot of work around career development for me in particular. Isn't just about what they do here at CSALT, it's how can we support someone joining the business as a 14-year-old coming on worker placement, all the way to somebody that's been away to, I don't know, the US or some other fashion brand, and bring some of that knowledge and experience back into the business when they decide to come back and resettle back down here in Cornwall.
Lovely, that sounds brilliant. Thank you so much. Those are all the questions that I have for you both today. I hope everyone listening has enjoyed this discussion. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you so much again, James and Georgie. It's been great to speak with you both and hear more about the success of employee engagement at CSALT Cornwall.
Thank you.
Thank you.